Coming up on today's show, a deep dive into the BMW iNEXT concept. Audi, get ready to unleash the e-tron. And SK Innovation, yeah, them who make the batteries, expecting a strong Q3 thanks to EV growth. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. Hello and welcome to the Monday, the 17th of September edition of EV News Daily. It's Martin Lee here with the news you need to know about electric cars and the move towards sustainable transport. A brand new week. Hopefully you had a lovely weekend, whatever you were doing. Here we go with a brand new week of EV News. It was a busy weekend, but an even busier week ahead. Well, thank you so much to the team at MyEV.com for helping me make this show. Yeah, that's right. It's the first place that you can buy, sell, and learn about EVs. It's a marketplace built specifically for EV buyers and sellers by people who drive EVs themselves. Go check it out, myev.com. Well, what a weekend of news it was for BMW. The iNEXT concept has been touring the world, literally. Journalists have been having a look at it for the very first time. Sandwiched somewhere between the Mercedes EQC launch a little while ago and the Audi e-tron Quattro launch today, well, BMW revealed the iNEXT concept. Okay, so yes, let's get out of the way first. Two things. It's a concept. And yes, they put it on the back of inside a Boeing 777 and toured it around the world over the last week, inviting journalists to literally see it on the plane. It never actually got off the plane. So yes, they were promoting an environmentally friendly electric car by putting it on a jet plane and flying it around the world for the benefit of some silly old motoring journalists. Not exactly the most green thing ever done. But with those two things out of the way, because I know I'd get comments on it, let me talk about this. It's going to enter production as part of BMW's SUV offering from 2021, and it's certainly, let's think of the right word, striking. And actually, it's not an SUV. They call it an SAV, a sports activity vehicle, don't you know? None of your utility vehicle around here. But more about the looks in just a moment. BMW are bringing to market 12 completely new, pure electric cars by the year 2025. And since the i3 is going to be gone by then, and when it's gone, it's gone, they're not replacing the i3 or updating it. They might put some bigger batteries, motors and stuff in it over the course of the remaining life in it, but there's not going to be a second generation i3, if you know what I mean. It really does mean 12 new electric cars off the drawing board. The first of those is going to be the all-electric Mini. There's not too much news around that. They're doing it quietly, and that gives me confidence. I think they've got a good car on their hands there. And then after the Mini will come the iX3 on sale in 2019 as a 2020 model year. Well, this is intended to be what BMW call an identification car. This new iNEXT is something that's going to guide a whole string of decisions and iCars over the next decade, maybe. It's just over 5 meters long. It has these huge, oversized 24-inch wheels. It's like if you were wearing clown shoes. They look ridiculous. And if you like suicide doors of the BMW i3, you know, the ones with no B pillar, so you've got to open the driver's door to get in the back. Well, you'll like this because it's got the same. The size, I would guesstimate, and I've not seen it, by the way, by the look of the pictures, X5 territory, and looking at the dimensions as well. Now, as we've seen on other EVs, like the Hyundai Kona, for instance, ultra slim LED headlights. I love the fact that on EVs, all of the lights and the massive kind of headlights and bulbs of cars of old just disappear. A little slim line of LEDs look just gorgeous. I love the look of the front, apart from... Now, there's one sticking point. It's the grille. It's the BMW design language, the kidney grille, if you like, or as Engadget called it in their write-up, the beaver tooth. Okay. Talking of oversized, the grille is enormous. If I was being generous, I'd call it a statement piece, a bit of jewellery, but it's way too big, right? Given the drag and the aerodynamics are the focus of any EV designer. So EVs around town, doesn't matter what they look like. EVs at speed on the motorway, the autobahn, they've got to be aerodynamic. And this is just a big slab of car. It's like the front end of a London taxi. It's just this upright vertical piece of grille that's just going to smack into the air. I would hope that when we see it in production, it's maybe a little bit sleeker, let's say that. However, this isn't a grille as in an open grille, because of course You need an open grill for cooling a fossil engine. This has all been sealed off. Behind that, though, is all of the electronics, the sensors for the automation and the self-driving. It is a big grill, though. It is. It looks like the any current BMW on steroids. It's just enormous. It's you can't miss it. Now, the theory of that grill is where they put all the technology. So I suppose it's got to go somewhere. Now, moving inside, it is inside the car. It's pure concept car, right? So it's a step too far to even be considered production within 2 years, which is what they're talking about for this car. In the back, you won't get any screens in the back of the car. In fact, the back seat was one big sofa. That gives it away as a piece of concept fantasy. However, BMW have a new technology called Intelligent Beam. It uses projectors and it tracks blank pages on a blank book you're holding. So if you're holding a plain white surface in front of you, it will project content onto it. I don't know what's wrong with an iPad, personally. Like I said, this is concept artsy-fartsiness for the sake of it. There is a centre console that's like a walnut coffee table, and it's touch-sensitive with a control pad. If you thought the inside of a Model 3 was different, BMW seemed to want you to poke fabric and stroke wood. Everything seems to be a surface in this car. Look, the inside, definitely concept car. The outside is what we should be looking at for how BMWs are going to look in the next 2-3 years. Gestures inside continue, and if you've ever had to use gesture control, not just on a car, but anything, you'll know it's a terrible idea. They never work. Given how fast Amazon Echo and Google Home have exploded in the last 2 years, like, millions of these devices have been sold. Amazon, when they have their sales before Christmas and Black Friday, they sell them. Well, I mean, I've read rumors saying it's at cost because they want everybody to have an Amazon Echo. And so, given how fast these voice devices are getting into people's homes, most forward-thinking people, and not just futurologists, voice seems to be agreed to be the future. And for cars, in my tiny podcast presenter brain, it makes sense. Both hands on the wheel, both eyes on the road, and talk to your car. If I was any car company making a concept, the first thing on the list would be the sophistication of voice inside it and how you talk to it. Now, I'm sure the BMW have got some voice plans, but I would lead with that and end with that, because voice in a car makes so much sense. You can say, Audi, set the sat-nav to take me home. BMW, how long till I get home? Tesla, turn my lights on. You know, I mean, you should be able to talk to your car and get it to communicate with all the smart devices in your home right now. Maybe it's just me. Well, moving on, and a lot of talk has gone into the design of this thing, the practicalities of being a legacy car maker, trying to fight the likes of Tesla with their fast-moving startup kind of style and advantage. Eventually, reality has to kick in with BMW. They are moving factories, investments, tens of thousands of staff from one technology to another, and they can't just do it overnight. So this is going to be built on a platform which will be able to take electric, petrol, diesel powertrains even. Some would say that's a compromise too far. Others would say it's a very clever way of managing the transition to electric cars for the established companies out there. That would answer the question why it looks so traditional, if you like. I mean, it's got that big bonnet. If it was a pure electric car, you wouldn't have that, because it's a compromise. And so clearly this is a platform that you can put a big old lump of an engine in front. BMW say it's large enough for a 120 kilowatt hour battery underneath. And given how fast charging networks are springing up all over the world, in Europe, Ionity, in America, Electrify America, surely once you get to the size of battery over 120 kilowatt hours, that's got to be enough, right, in terms of the weight that you're lugging around 5 days a week when you just pop into work. Well, Klaus Frolik is BMW's board member who's been talking about this. He says, I quote, "This is not just a show car, it's a promise. In 2021, you will get it," end quote. Well, after all the wishy-washy concept talk, inside EVs actually have some real news. BMW's developing its own battery cells, which will be used in all upcoming EVs and plug-in hybrids. BMW's battery partner has been Samsung SDI since 2012, but that's about to change. Currently, Samsung provides BMW with the cells, and battery makes the packages into its own modules. Moving forward, though, BMW has got a new contract with CATL, the Chinese battery maker CATL, to manufacture the cells, a According to BMW's design of them, they'll only need two different battery cell sizes. They are going to be a taller cell for SUVs, with more room below the passengers, and a second design of low-profile cell for the sedans that need to sit lower to the floor. Both are large-format rectangular cells, unlike the 2170 format cells that Tesla uses in the Model 3 and even the older kind of laptop-style batteries in the old Model S and X. Well, back to Klaus, who said this: in electromobility, you have to be a cost leader. If you're not a cost leader, you will not survive. Well, he knows the theory of it then, and he's saying all the right words, but can BMW be a cost leader against Tesla, who's got a 10-year advantage on this, making their own gigafactory with the likes of Panasonic, putting $5 billion into this? Time will tell. I would say one thing, though. None of the articles over the weekend, and this made it everywhere, from like gadget blogs and Ars Technical and Engadget and all the usual car places, none of them that I saw sort of pointed this out. This is a crazy-looking concept, but if you Google, so say you Google BMW i3 concept. When they first showed off the i3 all those years ago, people said it was fanciful, it's going to be watered down, but the i3 really is a car that didn't change too much from concept to production. I think the back lights changed a bit, if I recall. I mean, this is going back a long time now, so you never know. It could look like these pictures. Well, that's BMW, and now over to you, Audi, your move. The e-tron is unveiled today in San Francisco. A few days ahead of the unveiling of the Audi e-tron Quattro, the TV commercial is on YouTube, and I gotta say, it's incredibly good. We are so used to Tesla building the world's best electric cars, and amazing cars, in huge numbers. Chances are, according to all the latest estimates, 50,000 Model 3s are gonna be made in this quarter alone. Quarter 3 alone, 50,000 Model 3s. Sit with that number. It's enormous, and it's going to get so much bigger. But whilst Tesla are a cheerleader simply by making great cars, they never advertise. They never spend above the line. They don't need to. Why would you? You've got a 400,000-person reservation holder list. They have people that have handed over real money, and they're in line. Why advertise? However, Audi are taking the traditional approach. I'll play the advert while I talk. They're spending some big money on advertising. This advert on YouTube just looks the bee's knees, the dog's doodahs. And advertising their own EV is going to help the whole EV movement. There's a halo effect on this. Well, the text on screen, there's big words flashing up every second. Like the word fills the screen on this YouTube video. And the words read this: we did not invent the electric car. We injected it with the Audi DNA and unleashed it. Electric has gone Audi. Intelligent, connected, Quattro. Electric has gone Audi. The first all-electric Audi. Love that phrase. You could have said Audi's gone electric, but flip it around and it's brilliant. Electric has gone Audi. And I'm sure there's some Tesla fans listening to this podcast going, "Pah! Prove it." Well, I've got an open mind and I'm saying, you know what, VW? Show us with Audi. We're open-minded enough to go, you know what, you might have made a great car. 95 kilowatt hour battery in this. The range, it's a big SUV. If it does 250 miles, my socks will be blown off. If it does over 200, that's passable. Somewhere in between is what I'm expecting. Well, I love this. The small print, the really small print on the screen, right at the bottom, almost in a see-through font. And it's an American advert, so it's full of disclaimers. There's one bit that says something like, and I should have written this bit down, like, this car is being driven by a professional driver on a closed circuit. And it's like, really? For the American market, if you don't, you're going to be sued if you don't write that. Clearly, this car is being driven through a forest at night in the snow. I'm not going to give that a go. However, the small print does say European model shown. And you know why, don't you? The wing mirrors. Or rather, the lack of them. The Audi e-tron Quattro has these gorgeous, tiny little stubby cameras sticking out where wing mirrors would be. And then there's screens, LED screens inside the car that show you the view from the wing mirrors. And of course, because it's a camera, you can do so many more things with that. You've got some, when you are close up reversing, you get a wide angle lens, you can see all around the car. And then when you're at speed, it narrows because you don't need to see a wide angle lens on that. So that won't be making its way to North America. Legislation, the rules, the laws in the USA, you have to sell cars with wing mirrors. And that's a real shame for the styling and the tech. Well, moving on, and SK Innovation's battery business looks promising given its sharp growth in recent months. According to SNE Research, a battery market tracker, SK Innovation rolled out 315 megawatt hours of EV batteries in the first 7 months of this year alone. According to a report which showed up in Korea Times yesterday, it represented 135% growth during the period, which was the highest among the world's biggest battery makers. SK Innovation's market share grew from 1.3% to 2% during the period. Well, SK Innovation plans to enhance its EV battery capacity to 20 gigawatt hours in the next 2 years alone. Hyundai Motor Securities analyst Kang Dong-jin said this, and I quote, "Based on its battery technology and stable cash flow, SK Innovation can nurture its battery business in the long term," end quote. I'll put a link to the article in the show notes if you are a battery geek and you want to read more. I'm a little nerdy over these things myself. Well, ChargePoint is the operator of one of the world's biggest charging station networks for EVs, and it wants a 50-fold increase around the world, its global network of chargers, by the middle of the next decade, 2025. It said Friday, according to a Reuters report, the group in which BMW, Daimler and Siemens hold a stake wants to operate 2.5 million charge points by 2025, up from 53,000 currently. And sit with that number for a bit. From 53,000 currently to 2.5 million charge points. How many X is that? It's huge! Anyway, they've got plans, big plans, and ChargePoint chief exec Pasquale Romano said this, and I quote, "Our commitment to deploy 2.5 million charging spots by 2025 comes as the company embarks on the most significant period of growth in our history. And in the midst of a revolution in transportation, the group has raised $125 million so far for a European expansion. And last year, it told Reuters it's going to go public by at least 2022. A full link to that Reuters article in the show notes to read more. I think they're entering the UK market as well, and they've clearly got some big plans. Finally today, what are we, almost at 20 minutes already? Holy moly! All right, I'll save the rest of the stories for tomorrow. Another month, another day, another dollar, another great set of sales for the Nissan Leaf, and particularly in Norway. Now, the Nissan Leaf is the world's most popular EV. In fact, as an aside, someone called me up on, or they pulled me up on Twitter, I should say, over the weekend to say, why do I keep saying this about the Nissan Leaf? How do I know? Well, I know because they track these things. 43,000 of the new Leaf have been sold in the first 8 months of this year alone. That means 350,000 Nissan Leafs have been sold since 2010. Anywho, that makes it the world's biggest selling electric car. That's how I know. In Norway, it's been on the rise again. The leading EV in Norway, where we're just back from a holiday there, is the Nissan Leaf. 1,241 Leafs sold there. EVs with plugs, which are really the only EV that we should be counting, not hybrids that you have to put fossils inside, had a 42% market share of all cars sold. That is double diesel. Diesel's about 20% in Norway, and plug-in cars, 42% of the entire car market. Yes, usual caveats apply, big incentives, and Norway isn't the biggest market by any means if you look at volume, but it is a world leader in selling EVs. Thank you very much to everybody over the weekend who have started to answer our new question of the week posed by our friends at myev.com. Here's your new question. Send me an email or drop by the YouTube comments to answer this. How was your EV buying experience? Did you go to a dealer? Did you haggle on price? Did you get a lease? Was it used or new? What are your success and fail stories? Tell me your EV buying experience, if indeed you do own one. As you know, my wife needs to chop her car in. Wants to, really, because she's driving a diesel Golf Blue Motion, which she's wanted to get rid of for a long time. We need to finally get round to it before Christmas. And if you listen to yesterday's podcast, you'll hear my story of trying to buy a Renault Zoe for her over the weekend. That didn't go very well. So the hunt continues. Thank you very much to the 79 patrons of the show. It means we get to make this show for you. And if you get any value out of this show at all, whether it's learning something, being entertained, it passes the time in the car, if you get any value whatsoever from the podcast, do two things for me. First of all, a review would be amazing on whatever platform you listen to. A little review, one star, five star, whatever, it just makes all the difference. And it would mean the world if you would check out patreon.com/EVNewsDaily for the price of a posh coffee once a month. You can help support the podcast, of which there are 237 episodes online for free. Want to listen now? You can. iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, all the usual places. And I've got a website at evnewsdaily.com. And if you want to catch up on the socials, just search EV News Daily. I think we've got our SEO sorted because we come top with most things. You'll find me anyway. Have a wonderful day. We're looking forward to that Audi e-tron Quattro unveil. All of that news will be on tomorrow's show. Have a wonderful day, and I'll catch you tomorrow.